information correctly, which they put in place on a project which was about being migrants. So we've shared the agenda for the day. We'll first have a presentation by Alamine on listening and adapting. Then we'll have two panelists giving a presentation. Aziz. And then we'll have a Q&A session. Better understand this study to follow the survey findings that has been conducted by the CEA Hub. Oral. Without waiting any further, we've already missed 9 minutes because of connection problems. I will now pass on the mic to Alamine. Who will tell us about his case study on listening and adapting? Alamine, are you ready? Thank you very much. Just waiting for Laurel to share the presentation.
Can you see it? Okay. Okay, cool.
Hello, I'm the CEA responsible for Red Cross. Present our case study on migration. Let's begin with the context section. The Chad Red Cross has started an innovating project to accompany migrants in transit. At the heart of this project, there is CEA, which allows us to adapt our services to the needs of migrants. This presentation is going to look at the mechanisms for information collecting and how that has transformed our humanitarian action and reinforced confidence from our beneficiaries and improved the ability and the interventions the project. So first, some context on Chad. As you know, Chad is a transit zone, so has multiple entrances from which migrants come through. So they come from the Niger, Cameroon, Central African Republic, and Sudan. But they often find they have trouble. They meet quite a lot of trouble, for example, a lack of access to basic services, insecurity, health risks, and social isolation and vulnerability. Until the 31st of December 2024, sorry. So, for humanitarian service points in Chad, since 2023, the Chad Red Cross, with its partners, have started a program for humanitarian service points in Atis, Abéché, Adje, and Oumadja. Amongst these four towns, the oldest humanitarian service point is Ati. Others have been created quite recently. So the local communities play a very important role, namely the chiefs, who are welcoming the migrants. Migrants are hosted temporarily by local families, and are therefore able to have a safe space, and a social support. Slide. Yep. In terms of information sharing mechanisms, we have different mechanisms, which we've only deployed all of them in Ati, which is our first humanitarian service point. So one of the things we have is suggestion boxes, as you can see. They're the health clinics. They allow migrants to put in anonymous feedback, and committees meet every 2 weeks to look at what's in the suggestion box and to coordinate appropriate responses. The committee is has people from the Red Cross, has the head of the health center, and also has members of the migrant groups. Also have focus group discussions, which volunteers run with individual people or groups to better understand the experience of migrants and gather qualitative data, and see what needs are emerging. We also have a hotline, which is free. It's a number that migrants can call to give feedback, even if they're far away. Which is particularly useful for those who are in transit or who prefer the confidentiality of a phone call instead of an interaction in person. I think they have 5 free minutes per call. We also have satisfaction surveys, take place through Cobra Collect every 2 months, and allow us to work out how well the project is going and how satisfied beneficiaries are. This lets us really know over the course of the project how satisfied beneficiaries are and what we can do to improve the service. We do this every 2 months to see what's working and what's not working, what needs to be improved. Can we change the slide? So when it comes to the impact of these mechanisms, The mechanisms have really allowed migrants to express quite a lot of their preoccupations, going from to do with the quality of services to more material needs for assistance. So this data is analysed by the project managers and leads to real changes. In terms of really positive impact, has allowed us to raise the amount of medical care available for free, that they're able to better respond to the needs of migrants. So they've increased the amount of medical assistance provided. We've also been able to extend geographically. So, as I said, when we started, we only had Ati, but we've set up new humanitarian service points in Hadjia and Abishir, to improve the sort of cover. Also, just improved the service in terms of effectiveness. So, we're now able to take control of people who are in need and look after them faster than before. And we're pointing people towards services, health services, and protection services much faster than before. Here on the side, we have a quote from a supervisor of the health service point. It says, the host family has signaled a problem about concerning the arrest of a migrant. Thanks to this information, we were able to intervene quickly and free up the migrant who had been put in prison. Next slide. So, as our CEA really means that we have to work with the community, with families, etc., they feature very importantly in our project. So, here on the left, we have a local leader. So their roles, these community leaders, they let the Red Cross know of any new arrivals and they support their integration. And they've often been migrants themselves. So that means they're even more implicated in the project. So here we have a quote from one of the leaders. It says, when I arrived, people helped me, so now it's my help time my turn to help them. And on the right, we have information about the host families. Host families host temporarily and give food and social support, which is essential to migrants. These families support the migrants and bring them to the health centres and act as a sort of interpreter for linguistic differences. And then here we have a quote from somebody who runs a host family, a host home. They say, we were invited to N'Djamena to participate in a workshop. This allowed us to better express our needs for the first time. I'm not fully following everything our colleague is saying right now, but he's telling a story about how quickly they were able to act because somebody saw an accident happening that involved a migrant, and they went and notified the Red Cross and were able to get this person's support. Next slide. So, in terms of results, we had a lot of positive impacts. So, with the feedback, we've really improved our offer. That includes things like better services, better health services, better protection services. We've also seen some issues. So we found that there wasn't quite enough suggestion boxes. We also found that not everybody knew the hotline number. And we also found that people struggle with literacy. But then, in terms of relationship between the Red Cross and the community, we found that our CA activities have really reinforced the dignity of migrant people and created a climate of confidence. We receive a lot of thank you messages. People ask questions directly to volunteers and express a lot of satisfaction about their hosts. Okay, next slide. So, in terms of things that we've learned, we've realized that you need to have a diversity of mechanisms. Need to offer different mechanisms so that different profiles of migrants with different needs are able to use them. Also, the problem of people not being able to read and write limits the efficiency of certain mechanisms, particularly for women migrants. So we need oral and visual solutions. There's also the problem of insufficient visibility, so people not knowing the phone number of the hotline. There's also the problem of not dealing with requests as fast as possible, which is dangerous when you're receiving complaints and you're not responding fast enough. That can damage confidence between the migrants. Okay, he said slide. I haven't finished, but yeah, okay. So, in terms of what we can do to improve everything, we want to sort of cover more places, have more suggestion boxes in more places. And also put some sort of listening points with volunteers so that people can speak and give their feedback orally. We also want to adapt the support, so make sure that we have nice visual posters with pictures and make sure that they're in the right languages and make sure that they're for people who are struggling with literacy. So this experiment of the Chad Red Quad shows that with very little, you can make a real difference in terms of CEA and make an impact on the quality of services and the perception of migrants. We hope this model can help other national societies who want to integrate CEA into their programs. Here we have a quote from a volunteer. It says, "This is a good program. This is a program that's, this is a good program, and I hope it will continue. Migrants really need it." Next slide. Very much, Alamin. To thank the Chad Red Cross for the quality of this work. We hope that the rest of us who also have migrants can be inspired. See if we can use these tips to reinforce the confidence that migrant communities have with the Red Cross. Without further ado, we're now going to have the round table, which will be run by Aziz. Going to introduce themselves. So the round table will be about discussing the presentation that we've just received. Aziz, down to you. I am Aziz, team meal and CEA advisor for British Red Cross. I worked on this case study and I've worked a lot with the Chad Red Cross on migration, but this was my first time in the field to see what was happening. So, a quick bit of quickly give you my experience and my views on what happened. Actually, this case study was important because it helped me put a face to the testament and the system that we put in place. Over a year, I was speaking to the Chad Red Cross, but this was my opportunity to see it in person, to visually see how CEA mechanisms are working. It was a very enriching experience. I also really appreciated how all the mechanisms complement each other. They were well accepted by the community and by the migrants. I had some doubts about the suggestion box. Because I knew that literacy levels were quite low. But the program was telling me that it worked well. When I visited, I saw that it was indeed working well. People were putting notes in and people were speaking. The volunteers, particularly men, were going after volunteers to give their feedback orally if they weren't able to read and write. Give a lot of importance to this system. They really liked writing in the suggestion box because there's something a little bit more official about it, which surprised me. I won't go back on all the points in the presentation, as I think it was a very strong presentation and covered most points. But I think it's important that national societies do work like this, do case studies with pictures and information so that we can really share what's happening in the field. I don't know if you've had a chance to see the link where you can see testimonies from staff and volunteers. I think it's very important to see these videos and pictures. I really encourage national societies to do a lot of these kind of case studies because, unfortunately, a lot of the good work they're conducting gets lost in reports. And case studies like these are a bit more accessible. Now passing on to Bogum Zam to hear his impression. Thank you, Aziz. I am the coordinator for the Chad Red Cross. As Aziz said, I've been on this project from the start. I've been there from the beginning to the end. And I managed the project. And we started by putting things in place to do the project, including CEI, as the presentation explained. We've since made more humanitarian service points. The one in Asrei existed before the start of the project in April 2023. Which meant there was already work there, so we were able to begin the humanitarian service point there earlier. The TEA work really helped us because the workshop was helpful because the migrants were present there and were able to speak to us, and we had the community leaders who were mentioned in our presentation. Allowed us to spread information about our project. And also, this case study allowed us to see in more depth what has been done and what is left to be done. The work with the community is doing well. When they have problems, they go to the Chad Red Cross, and Chad Red Cross supports them. We don't do everything, but we're doing the minimum in order to alleviate suffering and allow them to continue on their journey. I think this case study is a good example. And will allow us to continue with on fundraising initiatives as well. To allow migrants to continue moving forward. Thank you very much for these comments. Good to hear from people who've seen this program in the field instead of it being from people who weren't there in person. And it's great to hear about the feedback mechanisms that were put in place. And it's good that you were able to collect feedback and address it where possible. Be very inspiring for other national societies who are confronted with similar problems. So with that, we're going to start the question and answer session. Thank you again to Chad Red Cross for presenting a case study. We're sure everyone else has many questions now. And also, after the Q&A, we'll go through the survey findings. Actually, no, Laurel is going to give her findings now. So I hand over to Laurel. Please go ahead, Laurel.
Oh, okay. I can do my, I want to leave enough time for questions, but I can quickly go over the survey results. Or do we want to do the questions of the case study first? But I can do it quickly. Okay, hang on. Let me just share my screen. Can you see my screen? Can everyone see it? I can't hear.
Yeah, I can see it,
Yeah.
Laurel.
Okay, great. I'm going to do this presentation in English, but I've put French up on there too, so it's a lot of text on the screen, but just so that everyone can read along. So yeah, this I'm going to quickly go over the CA Hub surveys findings. So thank you for everyone that completed the survey. It was really useful to get your feedback. So these results are from the survey, the Hub survey that we put out in April 2025 this year. So yeah, in total we received 127 responses, which was really great. So thanks for that. And these were kind of, we had a pop-up on the website that people could fill them out, and we contacted people via email. So that's where we got the majority of responses. And this report captures the results from the English, French, Spanish, and Arabic survey, because we had four different versions of the survey, but we put them all into this one report. So yeah, the majority of people that filled out the survey were from the Red Cross, Red Crescent movements, 50%, and the majority were based in the Americas. That's just because those are the people that ended up filling out the survey. That wasn't like a, they weren't targeted particularly. And so it's notable to say that 87% of people consider the Hub their primary platform for CEA, and the majority of users accessed it once a month or a few times a week. So you'll see the breakdown on the right-hand side of where the respondents came from. And yeah, so we had Africa, Asia Pacific, Americas, Europe, and MENA. So we had good news that the CA Hub is achieving its goal in satisfying its users. So 90% said it was. And 40, so that's 47% said they were very satisfied, or 43% said fairly satisfied. And then we also added a question asking whether people thought the CA would be negatively impacted if the CA Hub no longer existed. And the majority said it would, so 81%. And I'll just pull out a quote from someone here that we got as feedback. So someone said, "We do not have another platform that would provide this function. Without it, we'd be back to sharing things on email and national societies reinventing tools that already exist." So we had a question about the search function. So 92% of people said that the search function was easy to use. Which is good news, but we did also get some feedback about how it could be improved. So we will focus on making some kind of upgrades to the search function this year. And then we also had a question about content. So the majority of users said they'd like to see more case studies on the Hub, which is good news for this case study. And this was followed about by toolkits, videos, and templates. So you'll see the breakdown on the right-hand side of the different kind of resources people are after. So we also had like an open kind of question for people to give feedback, and the kind of key recommendations included adding more translations of multiple languages to the site, because the majority are in English at the moment, uploading additional case studies, updating the guides and tools we have, expanding resources to cover a wide range of topics, broader dissemination of the CA Hub platform, and adding additional like interactive online training opportunities. And then we also had an open space for people to leave feedback here. So I've just pulled out one example. The hub is essential to showcasing all the work national societies and the regions across the movement do on CEA. The only thing now we need to invest in a little more diversity on the language of the tools. And in this report, we also included Google Analytics. So this from October to April 2025, we had 47,455 views on the platform, and 14,689 sessions, and 7,410 users. And users have visited from 196 different countries and territories, which is great news. So you'll see on the right-hand side a breakdown of the top 20 visiting countries. So you've got the UK, Ireland, Switzerland, Kenya, US, and then going all the way down. And then based on the feedback, we've pulled together a plan of action for the next 6 months or the next year. So these are broken down into resource and content enhancements. So we're going to focus on translating more resources, updating the structure of the multilingual sites because it's in Spanish, Arabic, and French, so we need to make sure they mirror the English site. We'd like to identify a national society from each region to support in sourcing out uploading regional resources to make sure we have a good equal representation of countries and regions. And we're going to do an audit of all the resources we have and try and fill any thematic gaps that we have in terms of resources. And in terms of interaction and engagement, so we got feedback that people would like more kind of notifications when resources are added to the site. So we're going to send out a monthly digest of new resources. It'll be done by email or via the CEA Community of Practice platform. And we're going to also explore the feasibility of adding like an automated notification system so that when you can come on the site, you can click that you'd like to receive notifications about a particular theme, for example, and then you'll get an email saying when they've been added resources. And then in terms of training, so we're going to continue to update the training page because we did get feedback that that was useful, and particular focusing on online trainings, and look into creating some more interactive online trainings with IFRC. And then, as I said, we're going to also have a look at the search function because we have had consistent feedback that the search function isn't always working as people would like. So we're going to do some user testing in regards to that, which might be done during one of these community of practice meetings, for example, but we'll have a look into the best space to do that. And yeah, that was all from the survey results. So I will stop sharing and pass back over to Callie for the Q&A on the case study.
If you have any questions on the presentation, please feel free to raise your hand, ask a few questions, get more details on the case study that was shared. The CA Hub is important because we have resources that can help us. It can also serve as inspiration. So you can look at other case studies on the CA Hub to inform your work. I warmly invite you to visit the CA Hub. So you can access the necessary resources. Okay, so the floor is now open. Please raise your hand if you have a question or a comment. We'll take one or two questions before the end of the session. Are we together? He's saying no questions, but I can see some people have questions. Sikusisi, please go ahead. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for the two presentations. That were really interesting. And serve as a reminder that CEA has to be in all programs and can really improve the quality of services and improve the engagement of communities in general. So it was good to see the experience in Chad. And I agree with Aziz. I also questioned the suggestion box. I didn't think it would work, but if it's working, that's great. I have two specific questions. One is about language. Knowing that you have migrants, particularly from Sudan, who are coming more and more often, notice that there's also more and more people from Chad. So there must be linguistic barriers. I'd like to know how you deal with that. On the hotline, how do you does that work on a national level? Is my next question. I'm worried that it won't work full time. And if it's a local line, that could be a problem because it will be the same benefic the same volunteers who will be picking up the phone locally. So that could maybe cause issues of confidentiality. Thank you very much. Alamin, do you have an answer to this question? One about the language barrier and the other one about the hotline. Alamin, thank you, Kali. The question. On the hotline, it is a local line because it's managed by a specific volunteer. Person holds on to the telephone till lunchtime, 12 o'clock, and then the next person takes the second half of the day. So if we ever get national questions, pass them on. In the terms of language barrier, I mentioned it in my presentation. Local leaders play a really essential role here. Each migrant who comes will always have someone from their community with them. There will always be people from their community, so the linguistic barrier isn't really a barrier, not such an obstacle because other people can interpret for them. If anyone else has wants to come back, if Laurel or anyone else or Aziz wants to talk about the two questions that have been asked, please feel free to jump in. So in terms of language barrier, there's a lot of resources from our volunteers. A lot of volunteers speak local languages and they work together to overcome language barriers together. So that really works at a community level. And it also works in terms of coordination of migrants and volunteers. So there's already quite an impressive organisation on that front. So another
Yes.
question?
Yeah, please. I'm just interested to know, is there any sort of average time when people are migrating, how long they spend in these communities as they're passing by? And also, we see how the negative impact the media have here when people are passing from country to country in transit. And I just wonder what the response, not obviously of the community leaders, but of the just the local people in the communities, how do they feel about these people when they arrive?
Amin, could you respond? Yeah, I think the first question was on time, and the second was about how the community receives migrants. In terms of time, no exact time. Some people are here for a day, some people a week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 10 days. There's really no we can't know. So it depends on the dynamics. In terms of how they're received by the local community, migrants are quite well received. There's not really any problems. With natives, there's no huge issue. So, for migrants who come for 1 week or 2 weeks, when they come into the market, you can even give them certain activities like work to do to earn a bit of money. For example, people come with their leaders, they have an opportunity to borrow some clothes or do a little bit of work. They do receive resources from the local community. Meet their basic needs. So when people arrive, they've lost everything. So the community are understanding of that. In terms of the media, the reality of Chad is quite different from that of the UK. more community-based media. And they're actually key to our project. They really help us by relaying information. They talk about the rights of migrants. They've been very collaborative, and that has really led to migrants being well received. I also jump in and say, migrants arrive with very little. They have to work in order to live. Those who are able, so the ones who have really nothing have to stay for a month or two in order to work, whereas other migrants who've got some capital are able to move on faster, so they don't stay much longer.
Thank you very much.
Merci. For these answers, which show that sensitization efforts are working well. If there aren't any more questions about this field work.
Hi, I just have one question, if that's okay. I'm just interested in, and apologies if I missed this in the presentation, I was trying to take notes. but how do you communicate back to the communities that you've used their feedback? So how is that loop closed? And also, do you publicise, I guess, a policy or procedure around feedback to the communities and what they can expect and how they can expect their feedback to be used?
Alamine, down to you. We have a committee which is composed of a president, a secretary general, and they manage a lot of the feedback. They also include the heads of health centers. We also have representatives from the communities who are part of this committee and volunteers. And they have a very clear frequency. So they meet every 2 weeks. So every 2 weeks, it's, for example, through the suggestion box, they open the suggestion box. They try to see what the feedback is. It's immediate. Some feedback will take a bit longer to respond to. We get a lot of different types of feedback from different people. Frequencies of 2 weeks. So, in terms of responding, they can go straight to the people who've put the numbers in to give their response to the feedback. Those who have put it in anonymously can always go to check what's happened at the Red Cross office. Also, when it's anonymous, we'll also just try and give responses to everyone. So next time we're doing an activity, we'll communicate the change that we've implemented. Also, other channels to give feedback. So, on the phone to a volunteer, but the committee meets every 2 weeks. Alamin, think with that, we'll finish the session. Very much the Chad Red Cross for showing us their case study. For supporting the large number of migrants present in this country. Chad is really a place with people from all over. Great to see that they've tried to do as much as possible. And this feedback mechanism has really meant they're able to respond to the needs of migrants. And our case study has shown just how strong this work is. We can be inspired by this study in our own context. So if we ever have to do activities that are similar, for example, here we have a lot of migrants. So these experiences can really help us to better support those internally displaced. It's really been a good opportunity to better understand the methods put in place. Ways in which feedback mechanisms have been put in place. We can continue to exchange on our online platforms. We encourage everyone to visit the CEA Hub sometimes time to see what we're doing and make sure to share it with other people as well. I'd like to say thank you to the British Red Cross. And to everyone who supported this, particularly the Chad Red Cross. Very much. I am Mr. Kelly Mankuku, the Red Cross of DRC. Thank you very much. If you have any other questions, you can put them in the chat, but otherwise.
Thanks very much, everyone. Merci beaucoup à tous.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci, Alamine. Bonne journée.
Bye.
Merci beaucoup. Bye, Cécile.
Bye. Bye. I'm just going to keep it open so people can put it in the chat before any questions in the chat.